The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 26, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 26th, 2008, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
So today in Kuala Lumpur we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Patalam metasya hi padamulam. Patalam metasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapaje rasatalam. Tiparshni prapaje prasatalam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam Vishrachijota Gopau. Mahatalam Vishrachijota Gopau. Talatalam Vaipurushasya Janke. Talatalam Vaipurushasya Janke. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the Universal Lord, and the heels and the toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Purport. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on Him, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4. But that does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of a materialist is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. But the materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the Lord in a spirit of lording it over is not God realization. The materialistic view of exploitation of the material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the Supreme Lord by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Bharat realization will have very little effect on the seer. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. He keeps his identity as Supreme Spirit in all circumstances and is never affected by the three material qualities, for everything material is contaminated. The Lord always exists in his internal energy. The universe is divided into 14 planetary systems, 7 planetary systems called Bhur, Bhuvar, Svar, Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satya are upper planetary systems, one above the other. There are also the 7 planetary systems downward, known as Atala, Vittala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala, gradually one below the other. In this verse, the description begins from the bottom, because it is in the line of devotion that the Lord's bodily description should begin from his feet. Shukadeva Goswami is a recognized devotee of the Lord, and he is exactly correct in the description. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaita Navaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, this universal form, it is a conception to help the materialistic person to somehow realize God. But as Prabhupada points out, that even this conception of God, if there is no service mood, then there is little effect, you see. So just see how important is this service mood, you see. Our tendency is to try to be the enjoyer. We judge everything based on whether it is enjoyable for me or if it is not enjoyable for me. This is our difficulty, you see. In fact, this is why we have entered this material existence, because we wanted to be the enjoyer. But this is an artificial position. We are not the enjoyer. Enjoyer, that is Purusha, Krishna. We are Prakriti, we are the enjoyed. So when Prakriti tries to be Purusha, and that is artificial position, it cannot happen. But if we can simply enjoy by giving pleasure to Krishna, see, if our enjoyment is his enjoyment, as described by Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbha, you see, Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Matra missing one word. Sukadvam. Anyway. He is saying, Sva, that's the word. His own. That's right. Sva Sukadvam. Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Matra Sva Sukadvam. That one's enjoyment is the enjoyment of Krishna, you see. So if we take this mood, that I have no desire to enjoy anything except what is enjoyable from Krishna. I will only enjoy when Krishna enjoys. In other words, we don't try to enjoy separately from Krishna. We simply try to give pleasure to Krishna with our every thought, our every word, and our every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. You see. This is called Shuddha Bhakti, Ahaitaki Bhakti. If we will develop this mood, then we can be happy in any situation, because you can always please Krishna. Actually, there's nothing enjoyable in this material world. We sometimes foolishly think it is enjoyable, but there's nothing. This place is simply a miserable place. It's hellish nightmare, actually, this material existence. It's simply a hellish nightmare. So we sometimes imagine it's enjoyable, but actually there's no enjoyment. So instead of trying to squeeze some pleasure out of this place, so there is no pleasure. Punak punascharvata charvananam. Instead of trying to get some taste out of this place which is devoid of taste, we should simply learn how to get the taste by pleasing the Supreme Enjoyer Krishna. As soon as we do this, you see, then everything becomes perfect. We simply have to re-establish that lost loving relationship with the Supreme Person. He's there at every minute waiting for us to do that. He's waiting, waiting. When will this soul come back to me? You see? We are runaway children. Just imagine if you're a parent and your child runs away. How much in anxiety you will be. Where is my child? Where is my child? When will he come home? So Krishna is our father. He's the Supreme Father. And he's feeling great anxiety. Where are my lost children? So we should get back to that original position of trying to serve Krishna. Some people find this is really... They say, Krishna, what kind of God is he? They criticize. What kind of a cruel God is he to, you know, create living beings who are meant to serve him? I actually got an email like that yesterday or the day before. They're criticizing Krishna. What sort of God is he? You know, this is what sort of a rascal is he to create us so that we have to serve him? Just see how people can become so twisted, you see. They think that service is some horrible thing, some punishment. They don't realize that service is the natural propensity of every living entity. Everyone actually wants to serve. That's our natural propensity to serve. Our very nature. Our very dharma. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Everyone wants to serve. If they have no family members, what do? They get a dog so they can serve the dog. We see them, they walk the dog. You see, in the early morning, they go walk the dog. In some countries, you have to... There's a law, you have to pick up the stool if the dog passes stool. So they get what's called a pooper scooper. They scoop up the stool, you see. And they keep a plastic bag. And they give self-service to the dog. They take him on the walk, and when he passes stool, they put it in the bag and carry it in their hand. And serve the dog, you see, by picking up his stool. So actually everyone has a tendency to serve. We all have the service tendency. Why should we think it is something bad? It's a crazy thing to think it's something wrong with service. But that's the mood, you see. That's the mood that brought us into this material existence. So the question is Krishna cruel? Is he a wicked God to create us as his servants? That's what this person is saying. You see. He's a wicked God. He's cruel. because he creates us to be his servant. He should just create us to be his friends, you see. Actually, in the Vaikuntha realm, everyone is just a humble servant of God. But in Goloka Vrindavan, actually Krishna, in his intimate relationships with his topmost devotees, and the mood of being a humble servant is not there, you see. Krishna engages them in being his boyfriends or his girlfriends. But that is their, those are the most highly qualified servants. They are given these roles where they can engage Krishna in their service, you see. Radharani engages Krishna in her service. So that is the actual position. Krishna becomes conquered by the devotee's love. What does service mean? It means love, really. So how they can say that service is bad? That's like saying love is bad. If you love someone, you will naturally serve them, isn't it a fact? When you love someone, then serving them gives you the greatest happiness. That is love. So this person who is criticizing that service is bad, they're saying that love is bad, really. That's what they're saying. Love is a bad thing. We should hate each other. Why didn't God make us so we can just hate? So this shows how much people are covered by Maya's, you know, influence. The modes of nature are so heavy that someone will think service is a horrible thing. But that's the mood in this material world, you see. Well, service, well, that's somebody, you know. Service is for a poor person, you know. He has to get a job being a servant because he's very poor. He has no way to earn a living. Being a businessman, you know, engaging in people in his service. Those who are successful, they don't serve, they're served. In the material world, that's the idea. If you're very successful, you don't serve anyone. You engage everybody in serving you. That's the idea of material success, you see. The more you can become served, that is your success in material life. But in spiritual life, it's just the opposite. You see, gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasa nidasa. The more you become servant, that is your advancement, you see. The one who becomes the most, who does the most service, he is the most highly advanced devotee, you see. Who is a greater servant of the population of the universe than his divine grace Srila Prabhupada? Who is a greater servant, you see? Who is doing greater service than Srila Prabhupada in the history of the world, you see? Who has done a greater service than his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, you see? So, this is the actual position. The great sadhus, they are the real servants of the suffering humanity. They have more love than we can even begin to imagine. The depth of their compassion is inconceivable. Prabhupada was going on the morning walk in Melbourne, Australia, in the park. And it was Monday morning and all the commuters were going in. It's like now all the commuters are going in here in Kuala Lumpur. Monday morning commuters. Prabhupada was seeing how they were just, you know, just wasting their whole life. Going to work, coming home, watching television, having sex, go to sleep, go to work, come home, watch television, have sex, go to work. In this way, the whole life completely wasted with no Krishna bhakti, you see. And then go down to the animal kingdom. Prabhupada was seeing these commuters and he just started crying. He felt so much compassion for these poor souls, even though they had, you know, fancy cars. Didn't matter, you know. Because they had completely forgotten who they were. They had no conception that they're the eternal servants of Krishna. They think, well, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm Australian, you see, I'm white. This can complete illusion, identifying with a bag of flesh. Can you imagine how foolish it is to identify with a bag of flesh? Bones and mucus and stool and urine. It's the most insane thing you could ever do. If I brought you a bag full of blood and flesh and bones and mucus and stool, I said, here, this is you. Would you say, great. Thank you very much. He would say, are you kidding? You know, a big plastic bag full of 100 pounds worth of stool, urine, mucus, blood, veins, guts, hair, and teeth. A plastic bag, all this gross elements that here, this is you. You say, what kind of, is this a joke? Is this April Fool's Day or what's going on here? You mean to tell me this bag is me? Get out of here. You must be crazy. But yet we, every day we think this is me. How much insane we have become to actually think that this body is me. This suffering body, this rotting corpse is me. Talk about an illusion. Just see how potent is Srimati Maya Devi, that one can actually think this bag of disgusting elements is me. Therefore we require guidance. We require the three guiding principles: Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We require these things to bring us out of the illusion. Spiritual master, the scriptures, and the saintly teachers. We require these to bring us out of the illusion. We're so much enamored by this blood and flesh, thinking, oh, it's very nice. Let me give it a nice massage. You see, it's very, very nice. Let me hook up with the opposite gender of this blood and flesh. Oh, it is very, very nice. This is Maya. It's illusion. The only thing that can make us happy is to come out of the false identification with this rotting corpse and to reestablish our lost loving relationship with that person who is the source of all existence. That person who never gets sick, who never gets old, who's never limited by anything of this material world. These Maya bodies are so ridiculous. Someone has just written me, they are joined ISKCON. She and her husband, they joined ISKCON, but all their family members are Maya bodies. She told me in their family life, in the family life, they call each other Bhagavan. They actually, in the household life, they say Bhagavan to each other. It's like the Mayavadi sannyasis say Namo Narayan. In this household, they call each other Bhagavan. And they find this to be the temple. To them, the temple is no different than sinful activities, going to the temple. This is like sinful activity. So these people are so much misled by the illusory energy. They think that I am God, and going to the temple is no different than, you know, going to a slaughterhouse. I mean, people are so much bewildered. So much bewildered. Their philosophy makes no sense. If you were God, then why are you suffering here in the cycle of birth and death? You see? That's the first point. If you were Bhagavan, then why are you suffering in this cycle of birth and death? You think Bhagavan is under the influence of the material nature? Then why are you under the influence of the material nature? Well, they say, well, I am Bhagavan, but because I'm under the influence of the material nature, I just haven't realized it fully yet. But how could the material nature ever overpower Bhagavan? It is one of his energies. How he could ever overpower Bhagavan? Is that possible? If you were God, then how you could ever fall into illusion? You see, that means that illusion is greater than God, you understand? How God could ever fall under the influence of Maya? That doesn't make any sense. So their philosophy is just a ridiculous philosophy. It's absurd. If you consider all the different philosophies that are floating around, and then study the words of Krishna, you will see that Krishna is the only one who makes any sense. You will see that actually nobody else makes sense except for Krishna. I remember searching for many years through different teachings and different philosophies to find something that explained reality in such a way that it made sense of it. You see, it could account for everything that was going on in the world, and they could explain everything in a cohesive, coherent, complete, total way. And until I found Prabhupada's books, until I found Bhagavad Gita, there was nothing. All the other explanations, all the other philosophies never could explain reality in such a way that it made any sense. But if you, by reading carefully the Srila Prabhupada's books, he makes sense of everything. Everything is explained. Nothing remains confusing or bewildering. Everything becomes crystal clear by studying Prabhupada's books. And by following these teachings, one experiences how he's becoming elevated to higher and higher levels of consciousness. The more you practice it, the more you feel how you're being elevated more and more and more and more and more. So this confirms it, you see. From a philosophical point of view, it's confirmed because nothing explains everything so perfectly as Prabhupada books. And then when you put it into practice, then the experience you get, the transcendental awakening you get, it also reconfirms it, you see. On the side of theory, jnana, and practice, vijnana, on both sides, one gets very positive benefit, positive result. So why the whole world hasn't taken to it yet? Because they just haven't understood. They're too much caught up in sense enjoyment to even consider who they are, where they've come from, what is their purpose of existence. They just want to know, where's the money, where's the money, where's the money? That's all they want to know. But what good is working so hard to get this money when you're just going to be buried anyway at the end, 6 feet under? What's the point of it? Working so hard just to get a nice coffin, is it? Or being cremated, you know, with some high quality firewood. What's the point? Does it make any sense to work so hard just for the cremation fire or the coffin? Or if you're a Parsi, you know what they do with the Parsis? They throw you to the vultures. They throw your body to the vultures. The vultures have a love feast on your dead body. Sunday love feast. So what's the point of working so hard simply to be devoured by vultures or thrown in a cremation fire or buried 6 feet under? It doesn't make sense. There has to be a higher purpose to existence than simply being, you know, thrown to the vultures. There has to be a higher purpose. An intelligent person understands these things. But persons with no intelligence, it doesn't penetrate through their brain. They don't have brain, they have cow dung. You see, they have cow dung. You try to tell them, my dear sir, try to understand what is the purpose of your existence. Existence? What's that? He has no philosophical acumen to even ponder the whole idea, even to ponder the meaning of his existence. He can't even think about it. It doesn't make sense to him. What are you talking about? Existence. I just want to know, where's the money? You see? This means they're animals. A human being, he can ponder the question, why do I exist? A human being can ask that question. But a human being who has no inclination to know why he exists, he's not a human being. He is described dvi pada pashya. So, we are very fortunate that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is blessing us with this transcendental knowledge so we can understand who we are, where we've come from, what is our destination, and how we can get there as soon as possible. We're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada is blessing us in this way. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. Come here and tell me.
The relationship between chanting and service.
Oh, chanting. Oh, okay. The accent threw me off. Okay, chanting and service. Yeah. We all have a different way of saying chanting. Okay, chanting and chanting. Okay. What is the relationship between chanting and service? Chanting means you're begging for service. That's what it means. Actually, chanting is also considered service. It's one of the nine types of devotional service. Shravana kirtana smarana. In this way, there are nine different types of devotional service. And the second item is chanting. So it is a type of service, but it's not that I can simply chant all day and not do any service. That someone says, well, you know, we need you to do this service. Well, I've decided to do 108 rounds today, so I'm not going to do anything else. No. Surrender means whatever my spiritual master asked me, whatever the spiritual master's representative asked me to do. My local authority. Whatever I am requested to do, that I do. So, when we're chanting, we're begging for service, and then when the service comes, if we're actually chanting in the proper mood, then we're very happy. Oh, I was praying for service, and now the service has come. Thank you. I was begging, Krishna, please give me service. Please, Krishna, please, 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 Krishna, give me service. And the service comes, oh, thank you, Krishna. And we run for the service with great enthusiasm. That is the real meaning. You see. That is the relationship between chanting and service. Someone says, no, I don't do service, I just chant. And their chanting is impure. There are 10 aparadhas in the matter of chanting. And one of them, the third aparadha, is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So when the spiritual master calls us for service, if we don't obey his order, then our chanting is useless. So we have to chant in the mood of service, and we have to serve in the mood of chanting. They all tied together, because actually Prabhupada explains Chanting means kirtan, isn't it? Kirtan, shavana kirtana. So Prabhupada said, actually everything is kirtan. So if you're in the kitchen cleaning the dishes, that is a form of chanting also. So actually, chanting is service and service is chanting. They are the same also. If someone is out distributing books all day, that is very wonderful chanting. If someone is managing the temple, that is also chanting. Prabhupada says everything is kirtan except for sleeping. He said even taking prasadam is also chanting, is also kirtan. So chanting or kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So you can do that with your lips, you can do it with your body also, you can do it with your intelligence also. By understanding this philosophy, that way you're chanting with your intelligence. So our program is to be engaged in service and in chanting 24 hours a day. You should always be chanting and you should always be serving. Yes. Yes. False ego means the false conception that I am this body and the false conception that I am the Lord, I am the center of the universe, that I am the supreme enjoyer. So, there's two ways you can overcome the false ego. The one is the Mayavadi way and the other is the Vaishnava way. The Mayavadi, he tries to overcome the false ego by denying it. Neti neti, it's false. Just denying. Don't try to be the enjoyer. Enjoyment is false. There is no enjoyment. In this way, the Mayavadi tries to conquer. He agrees that he's not the body, but his program is different than the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava way, instead of trying to conquer your false ego, just try to revive your real ego. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, you see. I'm the spirit soul. So for the Vaishnava, instead of trying to kill the enjoying mood, he enjoys by giving enjoyment to Krishna. So the Vaishnava way is the way that will be successful. Because instead of focus on the negative side, he focuses on the positive side. Ego or identity, you cannot give up. But the false ego, the false identification with matter, that must be given up. So we simply have to revive the understanding of who I actually am. That I'm not, that I'm the spirit soul, the eternal servant of Krishna. And when I have an actual identity in which I can derive unlimited pleasure, then to give up the false bodily conception, which is inferior pleasure, yan maidanadi grihamedi sukham mitu cham, it's insignificant pleasure, this bodily conception. When you have a higher pleasure, then the lower pleasure can easily be given up. If I give you $1,000, you may be very happy. And I tell you I was only joking, and now give it back, you'll be disappointed. But if I say I'll give you $1,000,000 as a trade for that thousand, and it's a serious deal, it's no joke, I'll give you $1,000,000, just give me the thousand back, I'll give you $1,000,000, you'll take it immediately, you see. So your false ego, that's $1,000. If that's all you have, then to give it up will be difficult. But if you have $1,000,000 to replace it with, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I'm eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And to give up the false identification with that bag of rotting flesh, that is easy to do if you have something greater to take. So there's some understandings for you.
But sometimes the intelligence don't work.
Hmm?
Sometimes the intelligence don't work.
The what doesn't work?
Sometimes the intelligence...
The intelligence doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you need the association, because when your intelligence doesn't work, you have to plug into somebody else's intelligence. That's why you have a spiritual master, you see. When your intelligence doesn't work, then you have to plug into his, your guru's intelligence. And just do what he says, that's all. When you're not intelligent enough to do the right thing to please Krishna, then plug into your guru's intelligence by following his orders, you see. That's a fact. Our intelligence is not very developed right now. We're pretty stupid. But if we plug into the intelligence of Srila Prabhupada by obeying his orders, you see, and are to our initiating guru, you see, we plug into guru's order, the acharya's order, that is intelligence. Even though we may not have it personally, if we plug into their intelligence, then we will get intelligence by their mercy. So whenever you don't have the intelligence, just remember what your guru told you and do it. That's all. Follow his instructions.
But at the same time, the material energy working on me is so strongly, so that I couldn't sometimes overcome it.
Sometimes. The material energy
is working on me.
Yes, but the spiritual master's orders are more powerful than the material nature. If you connect with his orders, then you immediately get beyond the influence of the modes.
Maybe because I'm facing outside world more than spiritual, that has made me entangled with this kind of situation.
You're working more outside in the material energy than the spiritual energy, so it's not making more like...
You're feeling the influence of the material nature? More than the spiritual nature? You just have to remember the instructions of your spiritual master, that's all, and follow them. By doing that, then immediately you become free from the material nature. You have to hang on to, that's why we, this is why we have, you know, this is why we have classes in the morning. That's why if you don't come to class here, you should read every morning, you should remember what the instructions are. You see, these orders have been handed down from Krishna through the whole parampara system. We have to remember what are the instructions we have been given. Just like you work a job, you have instructions, don't you, at your job, what the boss wants you to do? When you go to work every day, don't you follow those instructions? You remember them because your job depends on them, don't you? So with the same focus that you do your job at your work, you must do your bhakti practice. You have to always remember what are the instructions that Krishna has given to you. And you must always carry them out, because otherwise you will stay in the cycle of birth and death. You have to take it very seriously. Always remember what your instructions are and always carry them out. Material life and spiritual life?
Working together.
Yes, that is described in the Sri Ishapanishad, mantra number 11. Perhaps you're familiar with that verse. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad virobayam saha avidyayam ritam tirtva avidyayam ritam ashnute. That only that person who can engage both the material nature and the spiritual nature. You see, vidyam cha vidyam, ignorance and nescience and knowledge side by side. Only one who can engage both of them side by side can achieve the full blessings of immortality. So you have to be expert at utilizing both the material nature and the spiritual nature in the service of Krishna. You have to see the material nature for what it is, the inferior energy of Krishna. And you have to see the superior nature of what it is, the superior nature of Krishna. And you engage both of them in Krishna's service. It's not that we become a devotee, you're no longer in touch with the material nature. You are in touch with the material nature. But if you see it as the energy of Krishna and you use it in His service, then there's no difficulty.
And put Krishna in the center.
Hmm?
And put Krishna in the center.
Krishna is...
He's in center.
Central?
Center.
Center. Yeah. When you look out here at Kuala Lumpur, you have to see, oh, this is the energy of Krishna. You see? Matak parataram nanyat kinchir stina nanjaya. Mayi sarvam idam pratam sutre mani gana iva. Krishna says, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me. His pearls are strung upon a thread. So when you go to your job on Monday morning, you have to see, well, this job, is this office is simply one of the pearls on the thread of Krishna. Krishna is running through every square inch of this company where I work. He's here every... He's holding the whole company together. You have to see Krishna everywhere. Wherever you go. That's the key. So anyway, any other questions?
How do you recognize the self-realized soul?
How do you realize the self-realized soul? Of course, someone says, if you're not realized, then how you can realize anything? You have actually the real thing is you have to read the description in the Shastra. And you have to compare that person with what you're reading in the scriptures. Does this person manifest the symptoms? You see? A self-realized soul is non-different from the scriptures. Don't we chant that verse? Nashta praishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. You see, the self-realized person, he's a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's non-different from the Bhagavatam. Whether I study the Bhagavatam or I serve that person who is a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam, I get the same benefit. So, how do you know then who is that person who is a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam? It's very simple. You just have to read the Bhagavatam and understand the Bhagavatam. And then if you have a very good understanding of the Bhagavatam, then when you meet a person who's a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam, who's living in the Bhagavatam at every minute, whose every thought is Bhagavatam, whose every word is Bhagavatam, and whose every action is Bhagavatam, you can immediately recognize him because you are well-versed in the Bhagavatam yourself. So all you have to do is become well-versed in Bhagavatam. And then when you meet the person who's a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam, you can immediately recognize him. So our time has run out. We have to get ready to go to the airport, head on to Australia. We thank you all very much for so nicely receiving us on this very short visit to Malaysia. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.